The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The level of criminality is unbelievable. It's an onslaught of violence at a level that nobody's ever seen before. For nearly 4 years, as border czar, Comrade Kamala has overseen a nation-wrecking border invasion. You know, this is nation-wrecking. This isn't just like, oh, we're going to fix it a little bit later. Gets to a point where you can't fix it. She's allowed at least 20 million people, all illegal aliens, into our country, including millions and millions of unvetted fighting age men from over 158 different countries. Since Comrade Harris took over the border, there has been a 43% nationwide increase in violent crime and a 60% increase in rape. And the FBI should be ashamed of themselves when they report numbers, because they, in order to keep the violence numbers down, they didn't report some of the worst cities in the country, like Chicago and others. What a disgrace. The FBI did that.
Powerful speech yesterday delivered by President Trump down at the border. He was in Arizona. There was even a threat on his life. I guess you probably didn't hear too much about that. You might have heard about Kamala. She gave her speech last night. But there he is, giving a powerful speech, bringing forward all of these victims that Kamala and company have wanted to let out of prison. The criminals that have caused the violence, the crime. It's pretty amazing. And of course, he's very well received down there because he has fruits. He closed the border when he came into office in 2017. And he says that he's going to do it again. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Hard to believe it's already the last show of the work week. Friday is upon us. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment. You can also email the show, TD@TheTrumpet.com. I was going to start with Kamala at the convention last night, but then the mainstream media, when I saw their reaction, they thought the speech was so-so. I'm just kidding. Of course, it was at least the best convention speech since 24 hours before with Tim Walz, and before that, the Dear Leader. I mean, they just kept getting incrementally better and better. The best in history. If we're to believe Rachel Maddow, you will remember for the rest of your life where you were when you heard Kamala speak last night at the convention. That's how significant this was. That's how momentous it was. We've had these embarrassing clips from the last of the swooners. It's been going on all week. They can't. I mean, it's like they're in competition with one another to see who can flatter the speakers the most. They've completely redefined this woman. As you saw even with this exchange between Jesse Waters and Jon Favreau last night. Now, she's mainstream. She's just moderate. Now, a few years ago, you said that it was ridiculous to call Kamala a moderate. She's far left. I'll play that clip for you later if we have time. First, a bit more, though, from President Trump down at the border yesterday, speaking about Kamala's border policies. And this is important because they actually released a commercial this week talking about how strong Kamala is on border security and how weak President Trump is. These people are shameless. They will say and do anything. Here's clip 14.
And we have a Marxist that's running, and I don't think you can let her. This country is not ready for a Marxist president. She will never build the wall. She doesn't want to build the wall. She's only saying if she changes her mind, it's only because she wants to get elected, because who wouldn't want to have a strong border? You need strong borders and strong elections, and we have neither. I call her comrade because she is a radical left Marxist. She wants open borders. She wants our country. I don't understand why anybody would want it, but she wants our country to be open to the world's criminals so they can come in and rape and pillage and do whatever they have to do.
He's right. There's your powerful, effective, hard-hitting speech. And to hear from some of the victims standing behind him, it's just gut-wrenching to know what we're inviting into the country. And of course, Kamala knows all about it. She's the so-called border czar. She's been in there for 3.5 years. And something like 10, 15, maybe President Trump estimates it's more like 20 million have come in under her watch. And they're not sending their best, as he often says. They're not. There's a lot of criminals that are just poor, and a lot of drugs, as I read yesterday, just pouring across the border. And no one's willing to do anything about it. That's because it's what they want. As he pointed out there, she wants this. But yet they're running the campaign now, Kamala's people, as if Donald Trump's the incumbent, as if all the problems we have in America are because of him. And then they're just redesigning this woman who gives no interviews, who's released no policy statements. She gets out, she talks for what, 37 minutes, and most of it's about her family background? Fine, I guess. But where are the policies? What does she stand for? Well, Favreau, in giving a momentary truthful analysis a few years back, he said she is far left. But now you see they've got to sell her as a mainstream Democrat. She's moderate. She's in the middle. Everyone in America absolutely loves her. The president pointed out that the media, they're not covering this disaster, this invasion at the border. They're part of the problem. As I say, you've been hearing that a fair bit on this show this past week. Clip 15.
Because you people don't want to talk about the border. You don't want to talk about the bad things that are going on in our country. We're going to end up not having a country. You're not going to have any media. We don't have media. They don't have media. They do their own media. They don't need media.
They should be covering this, in other words. It's going to ruin the country. It's going to destroy the media. It's going to destroy everything. And there are your talking heads just cheering this on. And instead of fact-checking Kamala, they say that it was the best speech perhaps of her career, perhaps again in convention history. Listen to Kamala from last night, clip 8.
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border. Last year, Joe and I brought together Democrats and conservative Republicans to write the strongest border bill in decades. The Border Patrol endorsed it. But Donald Trump believes a border deal would hurt his campaign. So he ordered his allies in Congress to kill the deal.
He ordered it, right. Another billion-dollar pork barrel spending project to go to all of their pet projects. The fruits tell you all that you need to know. I mean, there's that. You just heard that. But I didn't bring the commercial they've put together. It's just laughably ridiculous. Where are the fact checkers? The fact checkers have gone missing this week. Listen to Senator Murphy talk about the border czar, Kamala Harris, clip 13.
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border. When she was a California prosecutor, she went after drug smugglers, human traffickers. She put 100 gang members away in a single sweep.
Tough as nails on border security. He says it with a straight face. Nobody gasps in the audience. Nobody says, oh, come on. Nobody's tough as nails on the border security. The closest we have is a man named Donald Trump. He actually did something. He actually sealed the border. What border security wants for them to do, anybody in power to do, is to just give them the leeway to enforce the laws that are already on the books. But no, no, they've got to come forward with pork barrel spending and then tell you it's tough legislation. The laws are there. They just won't enforce the laws. It's brought to you by the Dear Leader. So Trump is in, he's in Arizona. He's giving an interview with News Nation. And then he's telling the reporter lady, we've got to keep moving. My security detail says that we need to keep moving. Meanwhile, I don't know if it was related to that comment, but there's a manhunt going on in Arizona right now for a guy that wants to kill Donald Trump. So maybe that's why he had to keep moving yesterday. He was nearly assassinated just a little over a month ago, by the way. This doesn't even pass for news nowadays. Security threats involving former President Donald Trump continue more than a month after the assassination attempt on his life in Pennsylvania. Trump abruptly ended an exclusive interview with News Nation on Thursday when his security detail alerted the former president and Republican nominee for president that he would not be safe continuing the interview. And then it quotes the exchange between Trump and this reporter. We're in danger right here. We've got to move. We've got to end this interview. This is another threat. Why, oh, why could there be so many threats on this man's life? Well, just listen. Listen to these radical, progressive Democrats. Listen to the way they talk about this man. They're issuing veiled threats every day. This is from Nancy Pelosi yesterday, clip one.
We have to defeat a person who is a threat to our democracy of the kind that we have not seen. At the beginning of our country, Thomas Paine said, the times have found us. Declare war, establish a new nation. Abraham Lincoln took up that charge to keep our country together years later, decades later. And now the times have found us to save our democracy. That is what we are here to do.
She puts it right up there with fighting the British for independence and fighting the Confederacy in the Civil War. That's how big of a threat Donald Trump is. No wonder there's so many people that want him dead. No wonder there's so many people that want him eliminated. And no pushback, notice there. She's sitting with two reporters. It's perfectly fine. It's just friendly banter the way they view it. The Daily Mail. You've got to go over to the Daily Mail to get this story because it's not going to be in the New York Times. It's not going to be at the Washington Post. Arizona authorities have launched an urgent manhunt for a suspect who allegedly threatened to shoot Donald Trump during a trip to the border on Thursday. We've got the guy's name, Ronald Servet, 66, is wanted in connection with an alleged assassination plot planned for the former president's visit to a vulnerable stretch of the southern border in Cochise County, Arizona. What? Another one? It's going to be nonstop. Well, you've got Pelosi. She's out there saying, hey, this is like going to war against the British. This Thomas Paine, I mean, he stirred up the troops. And Abraham Lincoln followed in that same vein to fight against the Confederacy. How many people died in the Civil War? 600,000-700,000? Were slaughtered. This is how dangerous Donald Trump is. Listen to this report, speaking of the assassination attempt back on July 13th. Listen to this from CNN this week, clip four.
A tactical team of local police officers set aside radios for the Secret Service in the lead up to the Trump rally that ended in an assassination attempt on Trump. Those radios never picked up.
And a local official is telling us that if Secret Service had picked up these radios, they likely would have heard a warning that went out 3 minutes before the shooter opened fire in Donald Trump's direction. And that warning was about a man on the roof. And that's been a prevailing question over the last month as various investigative bodies have been trying to determine how the shooter managed to get a clear line of sight at Donald Trump on July 13th.
They had the local radios, but the Secret Service decided, you know what? We don't need those radios. In case local law enforcement sees anything fishy across the way, over on those metal buildings perhaps, we don't need to stay in touch with them. We don't need to know what they're saying or seeing or observing. It was an inside job. Yeah, that's right. Secret Service, they were given the equivalent of a stand-down order. That's what's going on here. Still, so many fishy details that have yet to emerge. And you've got a corrupt regime media, totally uninterested, totally disinterested in anything about July 13. And then there's another attempt yesterday in Arizona. Doesn't even make the news. No headlines for that. These people will do anything to maintain their grip on power. They'll recreate a presidential candidate. They'll try to kill the opponent, murder the opponent. They'll do everything they can to cheat. Even Michelle Obama earlier this week, she talked about it's going to be razor thin in these swing states. So we've got to get out the vote. The unspoken message is, hey, we're going to need to cheat again. Get ready. Get ready to cheat in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Georgia. Maybe Georgia's wising up a little bit, as President Trump had some nicer things to say about Brian Kemp, the governor, and Kemp, some nice things to say about how we need to win this. The Republicans need to win this. A lot of cheating that went on under the Republican noses there in Georgia back in 2020. This is from NBC. Speaking of cheating or rigging elections, NBC News, it says the Supreme Court on Thursday partly granted a request from the Republican National Committee to make Arizona enforce measures requiring people to show proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote. Can you imagine that this is even controversial? But, you know, the DOJ, Obama's DOJ, they didn't want any kind of voter ID. So the GOP, the Republicans, they take the matter up to the Supreme Court. This article says it's probably the first of many lawsuits over the way elections are run, the way they operate in these various swing states. It shouldn't even be a matter of controversy. It should be a no-brainer, of course. If you're going to register to vote, of course, show people who you are. You can't just show up as a ghost or a phantom. That's what the radical left wants, though. In what is likely to be one of many election-related disputes to come before the court ahead of the November election, the justices allowed for one of three provisions of the state law to be enforced. I mean, the fact that the justices themselves, it was a 5-4 decision to show ID. Yeah, that's it. It's the first of many. Remember that prophecy, Amos 7 and verse 13. There's no helper for Jeroboam, but he does get some support from the kingdom's court. And we've seen that already with respect to the lawfare. Now will we see it more or regularly with respect to the election itself? It says more than 40,000 people have registered to vote in federal elections in Arizona without providing proof of citizenship. 40,000 have registered and they didn't show any ID. Do you know how much Joe Biden won by? And you've got to put one in scare quotes. He won by something like 10,000 votes in 2020. Where it is close in these swing states, it doesn't take but a little bit of cheating. Now, I suspect there was a lot of cheating because I would imagine they were far behind Joe Biden, the basement candidate, never did debate, didn't come out of the basement. And mail-in ballots just floating all over the country. And then when you hit the pause button and everybody realized, what was he? He was down by like 600,000 or 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania. That's why they had to stop it in the middle of the night. Because it took them 4 or 5 more days to find enough votes to beat Donald Trump. Totally rigged. Will they be able to get away with it on a mass scale this time around? Because Trump's more popular than ever. Trump's going to get a lot more votes than he got last time. So these cheap machines, they're going to have to produce massive amounts of fake ballots. Citizen Free Press, it had 4 stories that they linked to yesterday about the shenanigans that went on in Arizona, just to use that as an example. I mean, all you have to do is just go and, like I said yesterday, scroll down, find those stories and see. You just got to get a little bit over the finish line and then call it over and you've won. You've successfully rigged an election. Coming back to the fake euphoria over Kamala. This guy at the Atlantic, it's actually the same author that wrote, you know, Obama's ready to fight. And then they changed that headline, as I covered yesterday. This one's about the energy, about the good vibes that you're getting coming from the Democrat Party. For 3 nights, a joy approaching euphoria has coursed through the Democratic National Convention. I think the word I've heard most this week, more than Harris, Trump, or Democrats, is vibes. There's a good vibe. And, of course, when you turned it on last night, you were told that it could be Beyonce will show up. Or at least Taylor Swift. Come on, somebody. Neither one of them showed. So there were some rock music fans that went home disappointed. It says here, people say how good the vibes are. Ask how the vibes seem. Ruminate on how the vibes have shifted since Harris became the de facto nominee 1 month ago. And though the repetition might be cringe, it's true. Everyone is feeling great. We just feel great. It's been a 4-day celebration. And every speech has outdone the previous one. It says here, the main bone of disputation among delegates inside the United Center seemed to be whether 2024 was more exuberant than 2008 when the convention nominated Barack Obama or simply equal to it. Yeah, they're more excited about Kamala than they are about the dear leader. Or than they were about the dear leader in 2008. What a transformation. What a turnaround for this woman that nobody liked 2 seconds ago. Now, I mean, everybody loves her. Now she's strong on border security. Now she wants to cut taxes. Now she wants to do all these things that Donald Trump's been talking about. Now she needs to distance herself from Joe Biden, even though she's working alongside him right now. What a fraud. Party conventions like social media are not real life. They're populated by the most engaged and excited members of the party, and their bubbles were conflicting talking points. Where conflicting talking points don't intrude. And, well, anyway, who writes this drivel? I guess the guy that says, hey, Obama's ready to fight. The Obamas are ready to fight. Nancy Pelosi, she took that as her cue. This is the greatest threat since the British and the Confederacy, all wrapped in one. And then there's another wacko that wants to take out Trump down in Arizona. And Trump having to excuse himself from an interview. It's too dangerous. You think Rachel Maddow is going to take note of that? You think the Morning Meltdown is going to be talking about another assassination attempt? What is wrong with our country? What is happening to our country? Listen to them as they swoon over Kamala and the big party. the big party that they're throwing for themselves, while inflation is just sky high. Clip five.
Nora, I am on the convention floor, but that floor is now covered up to my waist in balloons. I think the confetti's in the air, the big balloons are flying, and the 2024 Democratic National Convention is definitely in the books, and people are loving it down here. Chuck Schumer, was he dancing, was he prancing? I just saw him go by. We've got cheers, we've got a certain underwater quality as people dodge the balloons, a certain concert quality as people wait and enjoy the music. And I will leave the reviewing of the content to you, but the emotion and the feeling down here is, I don't know, 7-year-old birthday party is how I would put it. There is joy and there's not a lot of thinking. It's a good time.
It was a remarkable address, one that I've never seen her give quite like this before. A very, very powerful speech. You got to go back, I think, to Barack Obama in 2008 for a Democratic speech like this, perhaps even a speech like this at all.
She's fixing some problems on the left. This whole thing has been an implicit critique of problems that we've had on the left. The left before we walked in here was about justice, diversity, trigger warnings, reparations for the past, and a bunch of party poopers and scolds. That was the knock on the left. We have gone from talking about justice, which is wonderful, but now it's about freedom. It's not just about diversity, it's about patriotism. It's not just about trigger warnings. In fact, that's gone. It's tough, tough, tough. Reparations for the past? No. Fight for the future. Party poopers? No. We legalize fun. We legalize fun. We put the party back in the Democratic Party. These guys want to fight not just Biden in the past. They want to fight this sort of anti-woke war against a left that just died in here and something new just got born. The Kamala Harris Democrats are a different thing for you guys to fight.
There were a lot of commentators that talked about how polished she was. It was the best speech of her career. No, it wasn't. It was all carefully scripted, as per usual. Not really that much polish. Not that effective. Certainly no, as I said earlier, no policy was brought out. But there they are, just trying to whip up the enthusiasm. Look, all that matters is that there's good vibes. We're getting some good vibes. Listen to this unbelievable comment by Rachel Maddow, number two.
All right, you will remember where you were when you heard this speech tonight from the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, really introducing herself to the nation, speaking as much to Republicans and independents as she was to the Democrats who were nominating her tonight, asking Americans to remember how great their country is and to fight for its values. You're going to remember where you were on this night. This is an inflection point in history.
An inflection point in history. You will remember every, what do they say about walls? Every word. Not a wasted word, not a wasted breath. Only to be superseded by Kamala's address the next night. A historic moment. Her accepting the nomination. I submit to you that the more effective, far more powerful speech of the day was Donald Trump down in Arizona, bringing all those victims along with him and them giving their moving emotional testimonials. This is real. The violence, the criminals, the drugs that we're letting into the country. And Comrade Kamala, as President Trump calls her, she wants this. She's been the border czar from the beginning of this fake administration. All that they have to go on are vibes. The campaign of joy. I won't take time to go through all of the lies, just the flat out lies. As I say, the fact checkers have gone missing, but I've got clips here. She says Trump wants to imprison journalists. I mean, she says this even as Steve Bannon is languishing away in prison because Obama's people have imprisoned him and they wanted to imprison Trump. But she says that Trump, he's campaigning on the policy of imprisoning journalists. She said that Trump sent an armed mob to the Capitol. Armed? Nobody had a weapon. Except for the police officer that gunned down Ashley Babbitt. An armed mob. Listen to this one. I mean, Sam and I couldn't believe this particular statement. This is clip 9.
I stood up for veterans and students being scammed by big-for-profit colleges. For workers who are being cheated out of their wages, the wages they were due. For seniors facing elder abuse. I fought against the cartels who traffic in guns and drugs and human beings, who threaten the security of our border and the safety of our communities.
She stood against elder abuse. This from the lady that covered up the fact that America was being governed by a senile president. Has been for years. He's the puppet. We all know this. But that's a throw-in line, I guess. She stood against elder abuse. She's been abusing an elder. She's part of the cover-up. And all the regime media, they're in on it too. And then finally, their cover was blown on June 27th. You talk about an inflection point. I mean, a lot has happened these past couple, 3 months. But some convention speech, it's not the best of her career. It's not polished. There's no substance there. It's exactly what you would expect. I mean, the whole world is just full of fakery and phoniness, as we so often point out. And here comes another fake and phony candidate pretending like she just has so much love for Joe Biden. And Nancy Pelosi yesterday saying that, you know, Joe Biden's done a spectacular job. My only beef was just the campaign, not the way he's governed as president. He's done that spectacularly well. And oh, by the way, Donald Trump represents a greater threat than the Confederacy. So we got to take him out. A world full of fakery. This is from Douglas Murray over at the New York Post. The Democrat convention. Well, he just says it felt more like the Oscar ceremony than it did an actual, you know, political convention or platform. The best actress, he says that goes to Nancy Pelosi. There really was no competition in this category. Nancy Pelosi gave the performance of a lifetime, reading every one of her lines without cracking. We will not soon forget the way in which she said that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had, quote, established one of the most successful presidency in modern times. And then put such emotion into her voice while talking about infrastructure on rural broadband. But the standout moment was her tribute to Biden. Only a few weeks ago, Pelosi went to see him and brutally ended his career, reportedly telling him he must either stop his run or get pushed out the hard way. This week was always going to be a mountain for Nancy to climb, but she managed it. Her performance was second to none as she paid tribute to the man whose career she so recently ended. Listen to what Kamala had to say last night regarding Joe Biden. This is clip 10.
Get to business. Let's get to business. All right. So let me start by thanking my most incredible husband, Doug, for being an incredible partner to me, an incredible father to Cole and Ella. And happy anniversary, Dougie. I love you so very much. To our President Joe Biden. When I think about the path that we have traveled together, Joe, I am filled with gratitude. Your record is extraordinary, as history will show, and your character is inspiring.
Your record is extraordinary. They destroyed his career. She was working there with Pelosi, the dear leader as well, The dear leader's losing his influence to some degree, for sure. But still, these people all stabbed him in the back. And then they're there winning the Oscar, as Doug Murray says. He writes, finally, we are being told that someone who has been vice president for the past 4 years was both in charge and not in charge, knows what to do but hasn't done it so far, and can both claim credit for the economy and yet insist that it needs to be fixed. How can there be this much cognitive dissonance? How can they get away with this, pretending that Trump is the incumbent, pretending that she, you know, she kind of did all these good things for 3.5 years, but then, you know, she did nothing and she needs something totally new? They get away with it because of the regime media, that's why. In the process, the Democrats have managed to create a whole new candidate. It's really remarkable that they've been able to do this again. They've created an entirely new and different candidate out of someone that nobody liked just 2 seconds ago, as I said. More people, though, are waking to the truth. I mentioned earlier this week the remark, I guess RFK is supposed to have his speech today somewhere in Arizona. I'm not sure if he's going to get together with Trump or endorse him or maybe just drop out of the race. I guess we'll find out this afternoon. But it's the VP, his VP pick, that was out there saying, her name's Nicole Shanahan, she was out there saying that they might drop out and endorse Donald Trump. Listen to her on a podcast from yesterday, clip 11.
I think Kamala Harris is dangerous to me because she is the ultimate puppet for an organization that has, I believe, since President Obama, not actually run real people.
Mm-hmm.
They have selected amongst a very small group of individuals that they can control and dictate policy over.
They're not real. She sees it. She sees it. She also, I mean, her family comes from out of a communist nation. So she sees what's really going on here as well. Listen to the next one, clip 12.
My mother is from communist China. Mm-hmm. I grew up hearing about what the famine was like in communist China.
Right. Well, she's going to do price controls at supermarkets, so we don't have to worry about that.
But that is exactly how you get to a famine. I mean, this is...
I know.
This is the basics. These are the... this is communism 101.
Communism 101, just like we were saying earlier this week. It's so obvious. Price controls... that was just a week ago. Listen, I mentioned that exchange between Jesse Waters and Jon Favreau. He was one of the speech writers for the dear leader, Barack Obama. He's got a popular podcast for those on the radical left. Listen to this exchange as he tries to make her sound, today, he tries to make Kamala sound like, well, she's just mainstream. She's just a, you know, good old traditional Democrat. This is clip 17.
Do you think Kamala is a moderate or is she a progressive?
She's a mainstream Democrat.
Because before you said a couple of years ago that it was laughable that people were calling her moderate.
I said that?
Yeah, you said it right here. I have it right here. Flashback, former Obama speechwriter, hilarious, some media outlets calling Harris a moderate.
She's progressive, right? She's like a Democrat. She's not like center of the spectrum. She, like I said, she's a mainstream Democrat.
He responds with the word, did I say that? And then the word salad you heard thereafter. They've managed, as Doug Murray says, they've managed to create a whole new candidate. It's remarkable. Not the Kamala we thought we knew, he writes, but a new special Kamala, whom we apparently didn't know at all. A Kamala who is hyper competent, super inspiring, and a fresh face in politics. It rivals Avatar, The Matrix, and Star Wars as one of the great special effects achievements of all time and deserves its top prize. So the best actress trophy, that goes to Pelosi. And then best best special effects, I think that would have to go to the whole party, the Democrat Party, for creating an entirely new and different candidate than we knew just a few days ago, just a few months ago. Pretty amazing. Good vibes, though. Lots of joy. Light on policy. A fake world, if ever there was one. When we come back, we'll conclude. I think we might have the weekly edition of World Watch. We'll have that, and then we'll have time for a short Bible study as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
Iran will soon resume testing nuclear bomb detonators, according to an August 13th report by Iran International. The U.S. Director of National Intelligence's 2024 report, released in July, stated that Iran has undertaken activities that better position it to produce a nuclear device. Conflict between Iran and its proxies and Israel is intensifying. This, in turn, is intensifying Iran's motivation to finish its nuclear detonators, warheads, and missiles, and to begin using them. At least 90% of Iran's population believes a global calamity will directly lead to the return of Islam's Messiah. To hasten that outcome, many Iranians believe in stirring up global chaos, including the use of nuclear weapons on enemies. Bible prophecy says Iran will play a major role in a coming nuclear World War III. The global calamity many Iranians seek will soon be reality. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Iran's Pursuit of Nuclear Weapons. The Taliban paraded billions of dollars worth of American military equipment at a former U.S. airfield in Bagram on August 14th, celebrating the third anniversary of America's withdrawal from Afghanistan. The Taliban terrorist group assumed power in Afghanistan when the Biden administration withdrew all U.S. military personnel in August 2021. In the chaos of the withdrawal, the U.S. left behind around $7.1 billion worth of military equipment, according to the Department of Defense, including aircraft, ammunition, military vehicles, weapons, communication equipment, and military electronics. Chinese and Iranian diplomats also attended the parade at Bagram Airfield. This airfield was the epicenter of America's search for the al-Qaeda militants responsible for the 9/11 terrorist attack. The disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal was humiliating for America. To learn more about what the Afghanistan withdrawal indicates for America's future, read Afghanistan 1 year later. Two Chinese Coast Guard vessels rammed a pair of Philippine ships on August 19th. The collisions occurred close to Sabina Shoal, well within Philippine waters. Beijing claims a Philippine vessel was at fault, but video footage shows this was more of the belligerent Chinese behavior the world has come to expect in recent years. Leaders of the Chinese Communist Party use ancient maps to make sweeping claims over almost all of the vast South China Sea. But The Hague's Permanent Court of Arbitration ruled in 2016 that these claims violate international law and encroach on the lawfully held territory of several other countries, including the Philippines. The Bible prophesied of the intense Chinese aggression we see today. Scripture reveals that China will soon take on an even more dominant role on the world stage. To learn more about China's prophetic role in end-time events and where its belligerence will lead, read China is Steering the World Toward War. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Last week, I mentioned that example in the sports world from back in 2002, I think it was, the Oakland Athletics that didn't have much money to spend and really came up with a genius way to put together a baseball team, and to do it, a good one at that, and to do it inexpensively. And one of the things, as I noted, that they did is they really had clearly defined team goals, and everybody coming in had to get behind those goals. And of course, we need that for the group, the organization, the church, whatever it is. We also need to have clearly defined goals individually as well. We have a booklet, goes by the title, Seven Laws of Success. And the first law, this was written by Herbert Armstrong back in the day, the first law of success is to fix the right goal, to establish the right goal. If you think of it organizationally, I mean, look at what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6. He said there, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life, I'm the life as well. So, I mean, that's pretty clear and specific. We've got to look to Jesus Christ, like it says in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Follow in His steps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. There's no other way, as Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages. The loner Christian is, I mean, he's not going to be able to find his way into the kingdom of God. He's got to go the way that Christ went. He is the way. There's no other way to try to get into God's kingdom. We've got to follow the instructions. The goal's been set for us. It's been clearly defined. We just have to look to Christ and look to God the Father for that continual guidance and direction that we need. I mean, that's the seventh law of success. Maybe at some point I can go through all seven, but today we'll focus more on the first goal, setting that right goal. Mr. Armstrong wrote, did it ever occur to you that there might be a reason why so many people make a failure of life? Not only men and career women, but wives and mothers too. Are you one who is wrestling with the problem of making ends meet? Nearly all of us are. This problem need not mean failure, yet it often leads to it. It's a fact. The vast majority do wind up failures, yet none need fail. I mean, Mr. Armstrong had everything just yanked out from under his feet. He lost everything. That's when he turned his life over to God, though, and became a smashing success spiritually. But it was a long, difficult journey. But when he gave his life over to God, I mean, he was filled with joy. That's where we receive joy, not from a political campaign or from some man-made movement. It's one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. And it comes right after love in that list over in Galatians 5. Because joy springs from God's love. God's love is an unselfish, outgoing concern for the good and welfare of others. God's love is unselfish. And if you're out there giving unselfishly, then you're going to be blessed with joy and goodness and peace and unity. It really is the more blessed way. Acts 20, verse 35. So coming back to this focus, you can study more into Matthew 6, where it talks about making sure your mind is focused on the right goal and how that it fills your whole body, your whole life with light. If you're really zeroing in on seeking first the kingdom, that's Matthew 6 and verse 33. This is another one, another quote from Mr. Armstrong. I don't think this is in the Seven Laws book, But he says here, it seems that most people have no goal in life at all. They simply drift aimlessly, going nowhere in life. I started my adult life with a definite goal. I had chosen the profession of advertising and journalism, but about 50 years ago, that was changed. I learned then that it had prepared me for the right goal, which became my life goal, a very great commission, and it's even yet far from finished. I think there is no other secret that has had more to do with preserving youthful vitality and zeal and keeping me alive and active more than 14 years past the supposed allotted lifespan. I mean, he lived till he was 93 because he was leading a life just full of purpose. He was motivated and ambitious. He wanted to do great things for God. He didn't limit himself. He thought big. Mr. Armstrong was goal-oriented. But going back to the first part of that quote, I mean, look at how many people in this world just drift. They drift aimlessly. They go through life without really any real purpose or plan even. You know that that just doesn't work when you look at it on a daily task level. I mean, if the day is going to be productive, you've got to have a plan. You've got to go through certain items on the to-do list. We've been emphasizing that quite a lot here at the start of the school semester for the students, the young people. Just how important it is to order your life the right way so that you can produce, so that you can achieve things, so that you can perform well, so that you can obtain high marks. This is from The Missing Dimension in Sex. It says, it's talking about human nature here. Why all this violence, this immorality? Here is the cause. Human nature, which is vanity, without any purpose, an absence of parental training and discipline. Why are we seeing chaos everywhere that we look? Well, look at what's not there. I mean, if you look at this concept in the family sphere or up on the national sphere, I mean, what is the goal? What's the goal for the southern border? What's the plan? What do they have in place? I mean, what are the people that are over it now? What are they doing to stop this invasion? They're doing nothing because they're for the invasion. They're pro-invasion. It says here, there's no sense of purpose today. We're told we must adjust to living in a world of problems with no solutions. Nuclear war, the erasure of human life from the earth, appears to be just around the corner, liable to strike us any second. Young people today are given nothing to live for, no hope, no future. They're more prosperous than ever before, but they're bored, it says here. They're rebellious. The spirit of revolt is in the air. They resent all authority. That's from Mr. Armstrong's book from back in 1981, writing, you know, over 40 years ago. And it's, as I told the principal's students this week, I mean, it's spot on. It's timeless. Okay, update a few of the stats and you're good to go. But the message, I mean, as I was saying in class this morning, you think about, we've been emphasizing this a lot in Life and Teachings, but you think about the connections that God makes for us and the connections that we need. I mean, in many ways, there should be no stronger connections than the ones that exist right in the family. I mean, God said about two marrieds that they're to be one flesh, joined together. This is the kind of language that you see in the Bible with respect to marriage, family. I mean, Jesus Christ, when praying for the spiritual family in John 17, he prayed that we would be one. You look around our society and you see nothing but division and disconnections. People are disconnected even from their nation, certainly from religion, from the Bible, from family. Who's the author of all this? Well, the devil is. The first law of real lasting success is to fix the right goal. It's not important just to have goals, as Mr. Armstrong says. It's got to be the right one. And he found out what that right goal was. many, many years ago, early on, at the beginning of his ministry, fix the right goal and then go after it with some zeal and ambition. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.